Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Being a mom means taking care of them, washing their clothes, taking them to school.
My mom always made our house our own.
Not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
Mamma mia!
Don't tell me my nagging's paid off.
She just taught me so much, and I really love her.
I've made a lot of mistakes, but I think I did the best thing.
Oh, why don't you get over that mother complex?
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, taking a break from my homework here as part of the Bachelor of Science in Organizational Leadership program at EPU. It's transforming working professionals into agents of change in the workplace. I can speak firsthand for this. It's an outstanding program. Takes about 16 months to do, and we're doing ours all exclusively online. We've got people involved in the coursework from all over the country. It's just great fun. If you want more information about that, you can send me an email, roger@homeward.com, or go to apu.edu. We have a link for the Be Soul program on our website. Today, part two of our continuing conversation with Susan Bramble and Terry Gunlock, Why Every Mom Needs a Best Friend, our theme. This is one of our classics going back in the archives here at Christmas time. And now, with part two of today's program, here's Jim.
As we talk about this important subject of why every mom needs a best friend, you know, one of the issues that I know was burning even in my heart, but I think in a lot of moms' hearts, we were talking about the idea of friendship killers. But, you know, for a lot of moms, they don't have what you have. You know, you've been friends for years and years. You've been in a support group together. You've done life together. You've raised your kids. You've helped your spouses grow in their own life because of your friendship in many ways, as you said yesterday in such a good way. But I think there's a lot of people out there who are saying, that's easy for you all because you're kind of neighbors and it sounds like you have a lot of fun with a lot of common interests. But, you know, I'm sitting there kind of alone. Terry, how do you develop a friendship?
That's a great question. Friends are so important to me, and I have learned that to have good friends, you need to be a good friend, and that's what we want to talk about today. And as I've looked over scripture passages, everyone that talks about friendship, it has verbs that are proactive, to actively pursue friendship. It doesn't just happen. You cannot remain passive.
You know, I hear a lot of people say, I really would like friends. Because I talk a lot in terms of much of my ministry, in terms of my conversations are replenishing relationships, things like that. And they'll say, well, you know, just nobody ever comes my way. What I hear you saying is you got to pursue it.
You look for them in, you know, young moms. You find other young moms in the park and talk to them. And I think one of the neatest ways to start friendship is to just say how you feel about someone. So often we think it. Someone looks pretty. They look nice. You like what they did or you really care for them, but we don't say it. And we're kind of afraid to maybe. And just to say, I really appreciate you. I love what you're wearing today. You look really nice. That's a huge, fairly easy way to start a friendship.
And kind of when you're pursuing a friendship, it's not like you first time out say, I want to be your best friend. Let's be mentors. I think it's a process, isn't it?
Yeah. You have to grow in it. And I think, Terry, when you were just talking about speaking it out, I think it's for a lot of people, they're reticent to do that because it's risky. Mm-hmm. You know, because you are laying yourself out. Well, what if I get rejected? Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. But if you the no pain, no gain concept. Mm-hmm. If you don't try, you're not gonna get anything back.
Right.
And thinking about our friendship, how it started, we didn't know each other. I actually saw Susan and Randy in church in front of me, and I made up a story about them because I like to make up stories about people, and I thought Susan would be like me. And then she introduced me at that conference, and then we invited them to a dinner, and then they invited us over to dinner, and then we played tennis. And so it was just a gradual beginning. But we both had to pursue it.
Right. And from that grew the family interaction and all the vacations and all the years of, you know, doing things together, doing ministry together, just doing fun together, doing life. Exercise, everything.
What's interesting is for you all, it was almost perfect. I mean, you even look alike. This is amazing. It's uncanny.
People do ask us all the time, are you sisters?
Oh, is that right?
And we thought up of a good response one time. We said, We have the same father.
Ah, that's great. Now, see, it's so nice that you guys get that. What I get is you look like your dog. You know, they say you begin to look like your dog, so you know, it doesn't make me feel any better. All my girls look like my wife, and you know, so I look like the dog.
That's great.
So thanks so much. But you know, in some ways, what's happened with your story, which we also talked about yesterday, was your story was one of these stories where you know you did meet, you know, you had so many things in common. Mm-hmm. Your spouses like each other.
They do.
All boys. How does that work for somebody that may not have that situation? Maybe they're not close to a spouse. Do you have to be a good friend of the spouse as well, or how does that work, or what's your observation?
I don't think that's necessary, but it's sure nice. Mm-hmm. And I think it's sometimes rare that all four really mm-hmm. connect. Right. You can be purposeful in trying to get maybe not just two couples, but you have three or four couples right. together and have a bigger group, because somebody's going to relate to somebody when you have a bigger group.
Right.
And we live in a neighborhood where we all attend church together, and you know, we just have a good time and do things spontaneously, and it's been wonderful.
Speaking to that too,
yes.
Ideally it's great, but it doesn't always work. It's hard enough to find a best girlfriend, let alone right. the husbands and then right. the kids like each other.
Right.
And in fact, for me, we had some really close friends, and it didn't work out with the husbands just because of some issues. And my friend and I had to fight for our friendship. We mm-hmm. called it that, but we did.
Yeah, you had to work harder.
And we have a precious friendship because mm-hmm. of that. So
yeah.
I don't think it has to be that, because sometimes, and those listening that don't have friends, just to find a girlfriend would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd go for that first.
Sure.
And if the other happens.
Sure, don't put the pressure. What I hear you yeah. saying is don't put the pressure on to make it, you know, everybody's all best friends.
No, you start yes. pressuring your husband to interact and do all this, and, you know,
right.
then you've got another issue yeah. on your hands.
Yeah.
Instead of you're pressuring him in the wrong way.
And it takes a little bit of nerve maybe to reach out
yes.
and ask someone if it doesn't work. It doesn't.
Yeah.
You can't be best friends with everyone. I want to say try again. Find
mm-hmm.
someone else.
Right.
Don't give up.
Right. No, that's great advice for anybody. You know, it's funny when you think about friendships, because there is a scripture. You mentioned scripture talking to friendships. Scripture talks a lot about friendships. And one says that there is a friend who is closer than a brother
right.
or a friend who is closer than a sister. It appears that that's kind of your situation with you two. I mean, I'm not talking about your negative to your family situation, but because you live so close to each other and
mm-hmm.
because you've done life together, it almost feels like you're closer than, you know, relatives in some
yes.
ways. Is that right?
Well, you
yes.
know, the family that we have, the relatives we have, we just have. But
mm-hmm.
you choose your friends.
Right.
And I think that for that reason, yes, I think we are. Plus, I didn't have a sister growing up, and neither did Terry. And it's so that hit us one day. It's like, oh, my gosh, I think we are like sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we definitely are.
Do you ever fight?
No.
We have never fought.
So most sisters
yeah.
fight. You know, come to the Burns house.
That's the advantage.
Yeah, of doing it as an adult.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't have
right.
to.
Oh,
that's good.
Right.
You know, we don't agree with always about everything,
no.
but we're able to talk about it. And I think other ways to establish friends, once you start meeting someone, just to call them on the phone.
Mm.
And if you have young children, you can't talk long, but just say, I just wanted to call, tell you I care about you, or I appreciate what you did.
Yeah.
Just checking in today.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Dropping a note, now email. We didn't used to have email.
Right. You know, that's one of the things mm-hmm. that I see so often when I'm listening, and I love to listen in on conversations. I try not to, you know, do it too bad. And there are times even when Kathy and I have been at dinner and, you know, I'm listening to the conversation.
Oh, that's the most fun.
Oh, it is.
I
well,
love
good.
It.
Okay,
yeah.
You'd like that. Well, you know, Kathy sometimes doesn't appreciate it when she said, now, did you catch what I was saying? And I went, no, but I caught what they were saying.
Yes.
That's not good. But, you know, sometimes in listening to the conversations with Kathy and her friends, I'll hear that they say, you know what, we talk on the phone almost every day. As guys, I don't do that unless there's a work-related thing. I don't just call up somebody and say, Bill, how you doing? You know, how was your day? But what I hear you saying is really that is a proactive thing. Pick up the phone, say, what's happening today?
Right. And just even say, I only have 5 minutes, because you don't
right.
want it to be a long time. But
right.
I just was thinking of you, or
yeah.
tell people you pray for them, then call them back and say, how'd it go? So they
yeah.
know you were really praying for them.
As adults, I think we can really learn something from our kids, because kids hang out. What are you doing today? Well, I just called Kaylee to see what she was up to. You know,
mm-hmm.
well, we don't really do that as
no.
much, but kids understand that. And that's why they, I think, have sometimes real good friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And then as adults, we have to have the reason. What I hear you saying is be purposeful, but also sometimes just build the relationship by having a conversation about sometimes just near to nothing.
Right.
Well, someone needs to know that you care. I mean, days I could maybe be feeling down and the phone will ring and Terry will say, I was just thinking about you. How are you doing? And it really makes a difference.
Boy, that is very, very
mm-hmm.
good. We're going to have to take a break in a moment. But before we do, I want to ask a question that will probably go through the next break. But it's the idea of developing a best friend. How do you develop a best friend, you know, with another mom? What are some of those practical ideas, lower shelf, important issues?
spending time with people is how mm-hmm. you get to know them.
Right.
And do life stage together. We have cleaned house together. We've gardened together.
Mm. Exercise together.
Exercise together. Taking our kids. I remember strolling our kids down the beach together. It's doing life, things you already have to do anyway, but doing them together mm-hmm. instead of alone.
And I think a lot of times people do feel alone in doing some of those types of mundane things. Yeah. What you're saying is periodically do your house together.
Well. Yeah. Just not, you know, not too often, but even we've gone to Costco together once in a while. It's fun.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things, too, that is when something is boring, or you, especially young moms, my daughter-in-law has two young ones at home, and there are days it's lonely, and she needs a friend to just do the stuff with, and she's real good about calling and doing that, and I love seeing that in her.
It's very practical to hear that, and hearing Susan and Terry talk about the friendship and reaching out to daughters-in-law and other women in the world, too, that they know, and just got to take care of the mundane things of life. But we're talking about why every mom needs a best friend today here on the Homeward Broadcast, and it's good to have you along. If you would like an audio CD of this program featuring Dr. Jim Burns and Susan Bramall and Terry Gundlach, all you have to do is drop us a line. You can write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. You can also call us toll-free at 800-397-9725. Include a gift of any amount in support of our ministry, which is very, very helpful, especially here as we approach Christmas and the end of 2012. You can include that gift. We'll thank you for that tax-deductible donation by sending you a copy of the CD. More to come in just a moment here on Homeward.
Yeah, everyone thinks I have the perfect family. Well, I sure wish it was. With one kid in high school and another in junior high, and I'm telling you, my workload isn't getting any easier. And my husband's ex-wife, well, she can be a real pain to deal with, and I don't know how much more of this I can take.
The challenges of being a parent are tough because they actually involve more than just raising a child or two. The pressures can really pile up. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. Having a solid support system of friends and family members who can lift you up when things get down and help keep you level when things are going better than expected is a must for any parent. And remember the value of Christian counseling also. Now, it's not a one-time quick fix to your problems, and it can't replace family, friendships, or even the church, but it can give you a fresher perspective to help you stay on course, see new possibilities, and look at a major reoccurring problem in a whole new light. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Help, for where to find help, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Hey, last night you all had a birthday party, some special birthday party for another woman who actually could probably be here because I know she's a good friend of yours as well. Tell us a little bit about that birthday party.
This was a surprise birthday party for a friend. Put on by her husband decided he wanted to do this and then recruited a few of us and sort of left town then to do it.
Sounds like a husband thing to do. We have done
birthdays over the years that are big events and surprises and around costumes and themes. We've done a lot of theme birthdays, and that's been a way that has been incredible to reinforce how much we love one another as friends.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say, Terry?
That's right. That's one of my favorite things to do. I've been known as the birthday queen because I think that's so important to have at least one time a year where you really affirm the birthday person. And we do it for old friends, long-term friends, and mm-hmm. do crazy themes and costumes, which people love. But we do it for new friends. And I just had one at my house the other night for a new friend in our group. And we usually go around and do some type of affirmation. Mm-hmm. And she
centers on the birthday person so that you don't go to a party and by the end, you haven't even talked to the person.
And that's the thing we've learned so often at other parties that we go to. It's just a party and nothing happens. But we almost always bring it back so that the person feels very special.
Well, when you talk about themes, what are you talking about? What was last night's theme? You dressed differently or something?
We had all the faces of Gail was her name. And she has many different facets of her life. And we dressed like one of those facets. But one of my favorites we ever did was I did it for Susan at my house. And it was the two faces of Susan coming together because she is beautiful, the belle of the ball, but then she's also born to be wild. And so we had people come dressed either like a belle of the ball or crazy. And we actually had half my house with classical music and beautiful china and the other half just crazy wild. And for my 40th, they surprised me and had it at the old folks' home. And
how'd the old folks feel about that?
They weren't there.
Well, I gave the great line. I walked in. I went, oh, the old people are having a party tonight. And then it was for me.
And we were all dressed either in some type of sporting attire.
Right.
You know?
Well, actually, that's a great thing. You know, we have some good friends where we got a for Christmas the other year. The men were in Texas, and the woman too. Two of them, I guess, were in these beautiful tops, and then you could only see part of it. And then they opened it up, and the dad actually had these cute boxers with hearts. Okay, and you know, they had just a mess on the bottom. Whatever it was, they had, you know, just Levi's holes, sure. Whatever. But pretty much saying that's how life is, and that's
it
how
is.
Families are,
right.
You know, too.
Right.
Now, I want to go back to this whole idea of living life on purpose and developing friendships on purpose. And really, what I'd like to do, I mean, I have my pen and paper out. Give me some ideas. You know, how do we do this? How do we keep developing these kinds of friendships that, you know, we want friendships like what you guys have?
Well, we talked earlier about doing things on purpose, speaking out affirmations, like Terry said, writing notes or email, phone calls, really being very purposeful about praying for someone and following up.
Taking pictures of special events and then bringing it to the person,
right.
Their child's birthday party or whatever. Flowers on an occasion when you know someone is down. Hmm. I was really low one day and a friend brought over flowers. I was just working in my backyard and I'll never forget that. Hmm. It was just so special. And
so what these are things we can all do is what you're saying.
It's being very purposeful. Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? The other thing that just hit me as I was listening to Terry talk, when you are praying for a friend, God brings them to your mind almost the time that they need that special cheering up with one of those things.
Yeah.
When I know for myself, when I'm really in prayer for my friends, I hear God's voice and telling me to call them, you know, stop by, ask how they are. And when I'm not, I lose because
right.
I miss out.
Right, we're really
on the
in
chance.
Touch. What I hear you saying is as you develop a relationship and as you get in touch with them, then you're more in tune with what needs to happen,
right,
whether it be
right.
through prayer or flowers.
And
or
bringing
whatever else.
Meals is a wonderful thing. When someone has a baby or someone's sick, I think that is a great.
Yeah, and in some ways, what you're talking about is just caring and serving, being other-centered,
right.
and thinking through that process. You know, I think there are people out there who would say, "Gosh, I don't know that person well enough. I'm not sure I want to impose on them by, you know, bringing them a meal or by bringing those flowers." You know, what do you say to that person?
I think it's always better to err on the side of doing something than nothing.
Yeah,
I've
when
really
in doubt,
that.
Do it. Right.
And I used to be afraid of that, but now usually if you're prompted to do something good like that, it's from the Lord and it's right.
Now, you said in the earlier program yesterday that you had started by, you know, developing each other's relationship through, you know, you did a dinner and you went and played some tennis and you did some skiing. But, you know, today you're really doing some ministry together. You two are doing ministry together in your community. How did that happen? And help us understand how two friends can move from, you know, being ski buddies or tennis buddies to ministry partners.
Well, when we first met, Terry was leading a women's Bible study in our neighborhood, and I started attending, and then I would help out the ways that I could. My heart, though, was really for high school students, and so I was very, very involved. And, Jim, that's where I met you.
Mm-hmm,
Was in
youth
and,
ministry.
And you trained me, actually. And so I spent, you know, 10, 15 years doing that, and Terry was busy with Bible study and MOPS, and then she started leading a women's Bible study, and I was still in youth ministry. And so what we did is we really encouraged one another to cross over a little bit into our each other's world out of our own comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't speak to grown-up women. I hang out with kids and young adults. And she encouraged me to do that, and I encouraged her to come on.
And I hadn't done much youth ministry,
right.
But at that time, my boys were in high school. And so Susan said, why don't we go on a trip and cook for the kids? And so we cooked for 40 kids up in Yosemite and brought
for
all the
week.
Food, cooked it. And then we also got
and
to
climbed
hike Half Dome with the kids.
That's
and
great.
We really bonded
yes.
at that time.
Yeah.
And you bonded with each other because you were doing ministry together.
Absolutely.
I find that sometimes some of the most effective bonding moments, if you would be, is when people are doing ministry together.
Yes. And since that, you know, that time, the Yosemite days, we have, I guess it's probably been 10 years now, we have co-led a women's Bible study at our church. And it's been really fun. And we've enjoyed it and grown.
And we even grew a little bit. We took a peer counseling class together and kind of motivated one another so we
can
do more
same
counseling.
So you actually took a class together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Purpose to do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This sounds simple because what you're saying is be proactive, be purposeful in these kind of friendships. And you know, I thought you might say something that I couldn't do. These are all things I can do.
Right.
As a father, as a husband, I think in any mother listening, it's the same kind of a thing. And, you know, I think our hearts are drawn. I think there's an emptiness in our heart that really says, I want to have a friendship. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you two on today was to help people be motivated to, you know, to seek after some kind of friendship.
Right. And it has made our lives so much richer. Mm-hmm. And we have seen wonderful friendships fall apart, too. That can happen. Right. And so that's why the ongoing ministry together, pushing each other, biking together.
And we really value one another. Mm-hmm. And I value Terry's opinion and her thoughts and her prayers. And it's just, it's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. It's made a difference in my life.
And we found out when we're low, the other one usually isn't. And
right.
can encourage and draw mm-hmm. the other one up. And yeah. Get us up the hard hills on bikes, too.
Yes, right. Yes. One of the really, really special times for us, though, was, 3 years ago, we got to go to serve at a mission in India. And that was a big, big, big trip and really impacted us.
It was out of both of our comfort zones. And
way out of our comfort zone.
And this is probably one of the neatest things. We've talked on friendship. We've been friends. But in India, we got to speak on friendship mm-hmm. through an interpreter
right. mm-hmm.
into
yeah.
the slums of India. And that was right. an amazing.
Right. Actually, the woman whose birthday we celebrated last night led a team of 8 women there, and it was incredible.
Wow. That's just such a nice way to end this edition of the Homeward Broadcast, just listening to Susan and Terry talk about their friendship and, of course, the friendship that they have with us here at Homeward. And Dr. Jim Burns has been focusing on these past couple of programs on why every mom needs a best friend. And if you missed any part of this program, go to homeward.com where we stream audio. We also archive the audio, too, so if you want to pass this information along to a friend and let them know that they can go ahead and access this, just put down today's broadcast date or just type in that title. You can search for Why Every Mom Needs a Best Friend when you go to homeward.com. And Jim, I know this is an important program for you too, not only these good friends of yours, but this program really had special significance for you personally.
Well, this has been a very important program for me. I want to tell you why. One is because I see Susan Bramall and Terry Gunlock often. Susan is on our board. Her husband, Randy Bramall, is also on our board. And I have seen the fact that their relationship has really built into their marriages, as well as to the way they've raised their kids. And it just is a model, I think, of how to do it. And these are two incredible women and happen to be very good friends of mine as well. For another reason also, my wife's best friend from 12, 13 years old on until now, actually has pancreatic cancer, and Kathy just went up and saw Carolyn in Seattle, and they have been tied at the hip since that time. They were great friends in junior high. They were great friends in high school. They actually even spent some time in college together. We would go on vacations and visit them, and Carolyn's struggling right now with her health. And what I have seen is that our relationship, Kathy's and my relationship, is better because of Carolyn. In fact, I can remember when we first got married, I said, I think you like Carolyn better than you like me, which is really true.
Yeah,
I don't know that to be totally true, but the fact is they have this incredible relationship where they can almost fill in each other's sentences. And now with Carolyn being sick, I'm noticing that as Kathy is talking about other issues, she keeps bringing back these incredible times that they've had together, and they have literally raise their kids together, and they have talked through so many important issues from past family life stories. But you know what? Because of this incredible relationship, Kathy is a better wife to me. Kathy is a better mother because Carolyn has a part in that, and Kathy, I know, has a part in Carolyn's life. And it's just so important that mothers take the time when they're so busy to go and find that friendship that really doesn't happen immediately, but it takes time and it takes effort. But what we're hearing today is that it's well worth it. And if you're feeling lonely today or if you're feeling isolated, then I want to encourage you to take the first step and spend some time with another woman who's going through perhaps the kinds of things that you're going through. Find a model, find a mentor, find a Susan Bramall and a Terry Gunlock in your own life. Find someone who on a regular basis you can go and have lunch with, or you can walk in the park with, you can say, what would you do in this situation? What would you do in that situation? Find someone who can become a confidant, someone who can be a prayer warrior, someone who will help you be all that God has created you to be. A very important message that Terry and Susan brought to us today. And again, I want to encourage you to do all you can to take the next step, if this is a message that's important to you, to develop a friendship with another person or maybe a couple of people that would help you in your marriage and help you in your relationship with your kids, as well as your relationship with God. I want to encourage you to be a friend or to seek out that kind of friendship where you can have that bond that Susan and Terry talked about today, and actually the bond that my wife Kathy and Carolyn have as well.
Absolutely. Well, that's a good reminder for us that it's important to have friends. God created us for community. And if you're looking for information on how you can do that, go to the articles and media section of our online resource center today at homeward.com. And when the Get Answers section comes up, just write in friendship and you'll find dozens of different resources that you can access absolutely free. Another way that you can start building friendship and healthy relationship with other Christians is to start using Homeward's daily online devotional. We call it our evotional. It's a Bible verse and a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of the staff here at Homeward, including Dr. Jim Burns and Doug Fields and Jim Liebeld, our web content editor. And this is the reason I suggest this is because millions of these go out every year. Why not get a group of friends together, if you want to get some girlfriends together, and use this as a conversation starter every day? Good idea. It doesn't take that long to read, and it's a free subscription when you go to homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.